Amen. Listen, thank y'all for coming this morning. We love y'all too. Love y'all too, I really do. I want to spend some time this morning, and if the Lord says so, for the next few mornings, Sunday mornings, doing what we always do during the month of February. For the past 7 or 8 years, we have set aside February to focus on the family and to talk about marriage. We do it for several reasons. We do it because we still believe in the holiness of marriage. And we still believe in the value of family. And so every February, we just try with the Lord to help us to spend some time really evaluating and focusing on our family. I don't have to tell you that traditional family is in trouble in America. The devil has pulled out some of his biggest guns and aimed it at the family. And I'm confident that if the church don't say something to try to turn things around, nobody else will. Hollywood and Washington got a dog view of what family ought to be. And so I want us to spend some time in February talking about the family. And as I stood there, and I do every Sunday morning, I prayed, and I asked God, Lord, don't let me this morning beat your people up. Because sometimes we as preachers will take the word of God, and rather than using it as a tool to heal, we use it as a tool to crush. But God wants to heal the family. God wants to restore the family and marriage back to the place. whole bunch of imperfect people in one place, the potential for problems escalates. And so Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he sits down and he writes to them and he talks to them about how to keep unity. The interesting thing is that God don't ever expect us to create unity. That can only come from him. But God do expect us to do what is necessary to keep the unity. And so Paul talks to us. He talks to the church about oneness and about unity among themselves. What the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesian church, the instructions he gives them will help us at home. It'll be a blessing to us at home. You will be amazed. You will probably be shocked to know how many families that make up the church that's in a fight for their lives. You'll be amazed at how many husbands and wives, they're good people. They're people that love God. They're people that love the church. They are people who want to do right, but they are under attack from the enemy. And the devil has painted a false picture that divorce is the only option.
Come on.
I want to say up front, like I try to do every time we focus on the family and we talk about marriage, I want to say up front that God is not against divorced people.
Amen.
I want to say that again because I should have got a few more amens than what I got.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God is not against divorced people. God does not hate divorced people. God hates divorce, according to the prophet Malachi. But God does not hate divorced people. God understands that there have to be life and grace after divorce.
Yes, yes, he does. Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so Paul here, giving the church some instructions on how to live in unity. And the very instructions that Paul gives to the church can help us at home if we will apply.
Amen. Amen.
If we would, listen, if we would just hear what the Lord has to say and live them out in our daily lives. Now, I don't know where we start at. I don't know if the church is to be blamed for the problems at home, or is the home to be blamed for the problems in the church? Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Here's what I know. I know that if you got a mess at home, it won't be long before you bring your mess to the church.
Amen.
Amen. I always tell you this, and I probably should have told you this up front, but listen, one of the reasons why I absolutely will, as long as I'm at Solid Rock, every February spend some time talking about marriage and family, is because I am convinced that in order to have a strong, healthy, working church, you got to have some strong, healthy, working families in the church.
Amen.
Amen. We need, listen to me, we need some husbands and wives who understand the value of unity. In fact, if you can't walk together with the folks you live with, you sure not going to walk together with the folks you worship with.
Help us,
Holy
Ghost.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, don't. Now, if you're thinking, if you're thinking about not coming next week because you know what we're going to be talking about, family is important to God. I want you to think about this. Before God, there are three main institutions that God established. God established church, God established government, and God established family. But before God established church and government, he established family. Because everything else in the mind of God has to start with the nucleus of the family.
Yes,
Family is important to God. It is important to God. And listen, whatever is important to God has to become important to us. It has to be important to us. Paul gives us some instructions here, and I want to just share 8 things with you. I want to comment on them just for a moment. You know, there's another reason why I'm so passionate about family and about marriage. It's because the next generation won't know what direction to go if we don't lead them a trail to follow.
Amen. Amen.
There are some, listen to me, there are some young people, some great young men like Thomas and Seth and like my sister back there who got a bad view of marriage because they see how we treat it. Lord, help me now. I'm help me. I didn't come to entertain you this morning. I want to help you. God wants you and me, those of us who have gotten old, believe it or not, we're on our way out.
Right.
There are some of us here this morning, we're preparing to live when we need to be preparing to die. Because you got a lot less time in front of you than what you got behind you. Listen, Dr. Rogers said, it's not really important what you take out with you, it's what you leave behind. What are you leaving behind that will give the next generation a good example of what a good husband or a good wife looks like? Listen, 8 things I want you to see. I'm just going to give them to you. I pray you'll write them down. If you don't, that's up to you. But 8 things I want you to see that Paul tells the church that will help us at home. Here's the first one. You must have a personal, growing relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you need Jesus in your marriage.
Amen.
You need Jesus in your home. You need a personal relationship with him, but it needs to be a growing relationship. It needs to be a developing, listen, it needs to be an ongoing, getting stronger and stronger relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen what Paul says in verse 20 and 21. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. Underline the word learn. It means to become acquainted with. It means to grow in the knowledge of. It means, listen, that you're gaining understanding about who Jesus is and what he desires in your life. He said, you have not so learned Christ. Look at verse 21. He said, but if so be that you have heard him. Don't check out on me now. Stay with me. If so be that you have heard him and been taught by him. What Paul is teaching us here is that marriage, in order for it to be successful and a family is going to be healthy and whole, you need a personal, ongoing, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to know him. I'm telling you, listen to me. You need to know Jesus. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to have, listen, you need a personal relationship with him. If he had a private number, you need to know the private number by heart. I'm telling you, marriage and family with Jesus is hard. Somebody said something. Come on, talk to me now. Talk back to me. It's difficult. It's hard. The devil attacks. I'm telling you, listen, things happen that you can't explain. It's hard. Listen, and just because it's hard don't mean you don't love your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. I know Maddie Bledsoe loved me, and I know I love Maddie Bledsoe, but there are days when Maddie is just downright hard to get along with. And there are days, listen to me, there are days when she just have to walk away, shake her head, and close the door. Because I'm hard to get along with.
Come on, help us, Holy Ghost.
Amen. I got a real bad disease, y'all. I got that disease called open mouth and insert foot. And the only thing, listen to me, the only thing that I can see in my marriage that have kept us together, not just surviving, but thriving. You see, a lot of us have settled with the survival mode. We just surviving. We just making it. And we make ourselves feel a little better because at the end of the day we say, one more day that we didn't divorce. There's no joy. I'm telling you, listen to me. There is no growing together. God really can't use it the way he want to use it because, listen, marriage was intended for God's glory.
That's right. Amen.
In fact, God gave us marriage for three reasons. Procreation. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so if it was for procreation, but it wasn't just to birth children. It was to birth children so that you could rear them in the fear and the nurture of the Lord.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. Now we good at birthing them. I go further with that, but there are some young folks in here. We're good at birthing them, but we fail at raising them in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. You'll be amazed at how many of us, even in the church, who have children who think Jesus is a cartoon character. They think the Bible is a storybook because we fail to raise them in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. I've heard parents say, well, I don't make my children come to church. You make them go to school, don't you? That is a trick from the devil. Do you hear me? That is a trick from the devil. And let me tell you something else. That is failure on the part of the parents. You copping out on them. He's 6 years old. She's 12 years old. And you gonna leave a major decision like that up to her? Lord have mercy. Listen, you need a growing, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. And you answer for yourself between you and God. And be honest with yourself. Do you have a growing relationship with Jesus? Are you tighter with Jesus this year than what you was last year? It's really important. I'm telling you, it's really important. If your marriage is going to soar, if your family is going to be healthy, it all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now listen, you can lock him in or you can lock him out.
Amen. Amen.
Write this verse down, Matthew chapter 11. You don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it to you. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 through verse 30. Listen what Jesus says. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now here's the key. Take my yoke. What is his yoke? His word. Take my yoke and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls.
Amen.
Listen,
Wives, if you wanna make your husband better, if you wanna change your husband, listen, get him in the Word. Get him in the Word. See, listen, it's impossible for us to stay in the Word of God and stay connected to Jesus Christ and not change.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Paul says, number one, you need a personal growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's what I learned. And I go on from this little point, but listen, I've learned this right here. William, I've learned that when a man loves Jesus, he'll have no problem loving his wife.
Amen.
Amen.
That's so true.
Amen. 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 And any wife who fight to keep her husband from becoming more spiritual is just plain dumb. I'm just telling you, I said I ain't take it back. The closer he draw to Jesus, the better he's going to be to you. The closer, because we've had some here at Solid Rock that thought that their wives were getting too close to Jesus. But I'm telling you something, the more time she spend with Jesus, the better time that you spend with her is going to be. Go back to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. Number one, you need a personal relationship, a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen, here's the second thing. Paul tells us, you must be willing to put off what will destroy your family and your marriage. Now, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the church, but I'm talking to the family. You must be willing to pull off or to put away what will destroy your family. Look in verse number 22. Listen to what Paul says. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. But Paul said, listen, as a husband or a wife, if you want your marriage and your family to go to the next level, if you want it to be healthy and whole, Paul said you got to pull off some things.
Yes.
You see, the old man is selfish.
Come on,
the old man is self-centered. The old man is full of lust.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, listen, the old man will mess up a good thing from God. Amen. Listen, I tell folks all the time who want to get married, if he is talking about marrying you and still dating the world, you better leave him alone. Amen. Paul said, you got to pull off some things. There are some things, listen to me, there are some things that just don't fit us when we become married in holy matrimony.
That's right.
Let me see if I can make that clear, because y'all don't look like y'all getting that. You can't live like a single person when you got a spouse at home. Amen. We got a generation of folks out there and a lot of folks in here who stood at the altar and made commitments and vows and promises, and they walked out the door with a ring on their finger and a bride or a husband on their arm, and they went right back to living just like they were living before they got married. I know this is good preaching now. Paul said, listen, you got to pull off some things. And listen, let me tell you something else. At least we think that he's talking about somebody else. Even after you've been married 30 years, there's still some stuff you need to pull off.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Just because you've been married for a while don't mean that you've arrived. If you don't believe me, ask Miss Maddie. Shitty. There's still some changes that Brother Anthony needs to make. There's still some things that I need to do better. Paul says in verse 22 that you put off concerning the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. But then said, Paul said, listen, in verse 23, he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul said, look, so you got to change. Watch this. You got to change the way you think about your marriage and your family. To renew. Listen, to renew means to change. It means to bring up to a higher level. Can I be honest with you and tell you that when you've been married for any length of time, usually after about a week, you start having these funny thoughts about your marriage. You start having these funny thoughts about the person that you married. I know y'all can't say nothing. Y'all paid me to say it. Can I tell you that sooner or later you'll wake up and roll over and look at the person while they laying there. They don't know you looking because they sleep. But you can't hold on to those thoughts. You have to, listen to me, you have to renew your mind. You have to take yourself back down memory lane and jog yourself to remember that I love this person. Am I doing okay, Miss Linda? Marriage is hard. Anybody listen to me, anybody who tell you that marriage is easy is lying to you. Amen. It's hard, but it's rewarding when you do it God's way.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, look, you got to renew your mind. Listen, you got to bring your mind, you got to bring your thinking up to a higher level. In fact, I wrote down in my notes, you must replace the bad negative thoughts with right and godly thoughts.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You ever notice, this ain't part of my notes, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. But have you ever noticed how the devil is always trying to get you to see the worst in your mate?
Yep. Uh-huh.
She can't cook. She burns boiled water. Do you hear me? She don't keep the house. And I mean, he can just go down the list. But what you have to do is that you have to replace the negative thoughts with godly thoughts. I've told you this probably for 8 years, but it's kind of my testimony of my marriage. Matt and I had gotten married, and we had went to Pulaski one day, and it was a pretty sunshiny day, and she got out the car. We hadn't been married about a week. She got out the car, and she was walking toward the store, and I was just going to sit in the car. And while she was walking, I heard the Lord speak to me just as clear and just as plain as he ever spoke to me in all my life. He said, that's my daughter. Go in there. Because as she walked, I was thinking, Lord have mercy, I'm married. I got a wife.
Amen. Amen.
And I watched her walk, and I was thinking about how fine she was and how good she was looking. And I said, there go my wife. And I promise you, God said, yeah, and there go my daughter. And God didn't have to explain to me what he meant. He didn't have to break it down what he meant. I knew as soon as he said it, I knew what he was saying. He was telling me before she was your wife, she was my daughter. And you need to always treat her that way. Here's my fourth little point. Number one, you need a personal growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, you have to put off some things. You just got to pull it off. I'm telling you, listen to me. Bad attitudes, you got to pull it off. Looking for a reason to fight with your spouse, you got to pull that off. Listen, neglecting your marriage, your spouse and your family, I'm telling you, you got to pull it off. It's an enemy to your marriage. Do you hear me? Complaining and nagging all the time is an enemy to your marriage. There's some things you got to pull it off. You just got to pull it off. Here's the third one. You must change the way you think about your marriage. You know what I've learned? I've learned that a lot of our problems are not real. They're just up here. They're up here. And if you'll change the way you think, the problems will go away. Here's number four, real quick. I like this one. You must be willing to work through problems in a godly way, and you need to do it quickly. Listen what Paul says in verse 26. He said, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Paul said, there's going to be some time when you get mad. You got a right to get mad. He spent the house money on fishing gear. Come on, man. Amen. You got a right to be upset. You got a right to be mad. But Paul said, look, don't sin. In other words, don't let your anger go too far. Don't let it go outside of godly boundaries that God has established for us to work in. He said, be angry, but sin not. But then he said something very important. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Can I tell you some husbands and wives? It's not a good thing to go to sleep mad with one another. You need to work it out. And you don't ever need to go to sleep with the possibility that your mate is thinking they may be gone in the morning when I wake up. Listen to me. I don't care what kind of fights me and Maddie had, and we've had some good ones. We've had some that could have had a starring role in a John Wayne movie. But we've never laid down. This is true. There she is. You can ask her. We've never laid down thinking that the other person is going to leave me in the morning. Now, I know everybody's not like that. And I'm saying to those of us who are married, look. We need to handle problems in a godly way. That's right. And we need to do it quick. Yeah. You know, listen to me. Anger is like a cancer. Yes, the longer it lay, the worse it gets. Yes. The worse it gets. And the devil, listen to me. If he can start a fire, he'll throw some coal on it. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you mad because, and I've been here, you mad because she burnt the biscuits. If you're not careful, she'll oversalt the potatoes. He will give you a reason to be mad. before this day is over with, for every husband and every wife who might be into it, if it's possible, reconcile. Reconcile. Paul said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Is this making sense this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Here's number five. Here's number five real quick. Paul tells us in verse 27, he said, neither give place to the devil. Stop opening the door for the devil. Give place means to give him a foothold. It means to give him an unearned opportunity to take a shot at your marriage, to do damage to your family. Listen, folks, when you say things that are ungodly to your spouse, you open the door for the devil. When you treat your spouse with contempt and disrespect, you open the door for the devil. When you act like a single person, even though you're a married person, you open the door for the devil. When you don't raise your children according to the word of God, you are opening the door for the devil to have his way in their life down the road. Paul says in verse 27, he said, don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. I've always lived by this philosophy. I've tried to always be careful with the Lord to help me. What I did and where I went when I was away from Maddie. We never kept tabs on one another. We never followed each other around. I don't think she ever hired a private investigator to see where I was going. But I always tried to be careful where I went and what I did when I was away from her. Because the Lord taught me something early in my marriage. That the Lord taught me that the devil is just looking for an accusation. He's not looking for truth. It just had to be believable. In fact, he do his best work with a lie. And so I've always tried to make sure that I didn't give the devil no bullets to shoot me with.
Amen.
So I was careful where I went.
Amen.
Listen, I didn't only do it for my sake, I did it for her sake as well. Because the truth of the matter is, we can't be with one another all the time.
That's right.
Amen. There have to be some time away from one another. And it's a miserable thing. It's a miserable thing as a husband or a wife to be trying to work wondering, is my spouse doing the right thing? Now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all ain't saying nothing, but you know I'm telling you the truth. And listen, and there are some of us, we are giving the devil a foothold. We're giving them a foothold because, listen, we live by this attitude. I don't care what she thinks. You'll care what she think when she take you to court and take everything you work for. You'll care then. You'll care, listen to me, you'll care when your children are a mental and an emotional mess because they can't understand why mom and dad couldn't get along. You got to stop giving the devil a foothold. Listen, not only do we need to stop doing it at home, we need to stop doing it at the church.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'll preach this later, but I'm going to get this to you now. There are some people who make up the church that, listen, your philosophy of life and the gospel is no different from the devil's. Amen. Amen. We bring our attitude and we bring our demands in the church.
Come on.
And think everybody else supposed to buckle down toward to them. I need to make this clear. I need to make this plain. Out of love.
Yes, sir.
God called Anthony Bledsoe. And I love y'all, but I'm accountable to him. Listen, y'all sign the check, but he makes the bills. You got to stop opening the door for the devil. You got to stop it. You got to stop running around talking about what somebody did to you last year at the church. Every time you bring that mess up, you just letting the devil in. Got to stop running around talking about what you want at the church. Like you done bought a church or something. Like the church belongs to you. Church was bought and paid for with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is not important what you want. It's what God wants for his church. Here's the sixth thing, real quick. We got to run. Here's the sixth thing. Listen. Number five, you got to stop opening the door for the devil. Number six, you got to put a watch over your mouth. You got to listen to me. You got to put a watch over your mouth. Your mouth can do more damage in a few moments to your family, to your home, and to your marriage. Your mouth can do more damage in a few moments than you can fix in a lifetime. Can I tell you something? The truth of the matter is that, listen, a lot of us, the reason why we got problems at home, we just simply don't know how to talk to one another. Yeah. Amen. 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 We don't. We just simply don't know how to talk to one another. Look what Paul says in verse 29. We're almost finished. I can tell y'all. Getting restless. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word corrupt, solid rock, means rotten. And there are some of us, every time we open our mouths to our spouses and to our children, only thing come out is rotten stuff. Just rotten. Just rotten. Just unusable stuff. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let me ask you a question. Are you using your words to build your spouse or to break your spouse? Are you using your words to help your children or to hurt your children? Number seven, Paul says you need to stop fighting the Holy Spirit. You need to stop fighting the Holy Spirit. Paul says it this way. He's saying, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Paul said, you need to stop fighting the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, now, how in the world do we fight the Holy Spirit? Well, Holy Spirit, who God has given to us to teach us and to help us, lives on the inside of us. Amen? Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is just as much a part of your marriage as you are. Right. Amen? Right. In fact, he knows stuff about your marriage that you ain't learned yet. And so the Holy Spirit see an area in your life that's damaging your marriage or your family. And the Holy Spirit come along, knock on the door of your heart and say, hey, I need to talk to you for a minute. Okay, what is it? You need to change this. This is destroying your marriage. This is causing your children to be less than what they could be. But rather than you agreeing with the Holy Spirit and saying, yeah, you're right, help me to change, you ask him to leave and close the door. In the life of every one of us, if we would be honest, There is something that God has been trying to show us about how we're raising our families or how we're loving our spouses that need to change, but we hadn't listened to it because we don't want to change it. You know it. Anthony Bledsoe know it. And Paul said, when you don't listen to the Spirit, you grieve him. You grieve him. Then he goes on in the next verse, and he tells us how we grieve him. Look at verse 31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You'll be amazed at how much bitterness is in our homes. You'll be amazed at how much evil speaking and anger is in our home. Amen. You live with them, but you're not with them because you're mad with them. You didn't just get mad yesterday. You've been mad since last year. And Paul said, you got to put that stuff away if you want a healthy home and a happy marriage. Amen. Amen. You got to put it away. Listen, literally what Paul says to us here is that you got to stop feeding your family poison. Because these things kill spiritually. Verse 32, and I'll be finished. Paul says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I wrote in my notes, if you care to know, you got to develop the right habits and you need to practice the right example. You need to follow the right example. What are the habits? Being kind to one another, being tenderhearted, being forgiving. Those are some good habits to practice in the home. There's some good habits to practice in the church.
Amen.
Amen. They are. And then Paul says, finally, you need to follow the right example. He said, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the implication is, just like God was willing to forgive you for Christ's sake, you ought to forgive one another for Christ's sake.
Amen.
One of the things that we have to do in a marriage, in a church family, we have to be willing to forgive one another. We do. Right now, she can't do no wrong in your sight. I'm telling you, boy, all you see is the good. I say because we got two young couples that's going to get married here pretty soon, right here in the congregation.
Amen.
I mean, all you see is the good. But there'll come a time when you've been together for a little while when you will need to practice the grace of forgiving.
Amen.
Some of the sweetest words that I've heard out of my wife's mouth is, baby, I forgive you. I forgive you. We need it in the church and we need it in the home. Because we're not perfect. And sometimes the things that we do hurt our spouses, our children deeply. But there's something about real, genuine forgiveness that brings healing to everybody that comes in contact with it. The good news this morning is that that same Jesus who has forgiven so many of us of our sins, he'll forgive you this morning. Just like he forgave Jason, just like he forgave Anthony, just like he forgave Tommy Pope, just like he forgave Steve Russ. He forgave Moses and Paul and Joshua. He forgave them all. Listen, he'll forgive you this morning if you would just receive it by faith. You stand with me.